In the southern part of Texas, in the town of San Antone, is a fortress all in ruins that the weeds have overgrown. You may look in vain for crosses and you'll never see a one, but sometimes between the setting and the rising of the sun, you can hear a ghostly bugle as the men go marching by. You can hear them as they answer to that roll call in the sky. Colonel Travis, Davy Crockett, and 180 more, Captain Dickinson, Jim Bowie, present and accounted for. Back in 1836, Houston said to Travis, get some volunteers and go, fortify the Alamo. Well, the men came from Texas and from old Tennessee, and they joined up with Travis just to fight for the right to be free. Indian scouts with squirrel guns, men with muzzle loaders, stood together heel and toe to defend the Alamo. You may ne'er see your loved ones, Travis told them that day. Those who want to can leave now, those who fight to the death, let them stay. In the sand he drew a line with his army saber. Out of 185, not a soldier crossed the line. With his banners a-dancing in the dawn's golden light, Santa Anna came prancing on a horse that was black as the night. Sent an officer to tell Travis to surrender. Travis answered with a shell and a rousing rebel yell. Santa Anna turned scarlet, played to Quaylo, he roared, I will show them no quarter, everyone will be put to the sword. 185, holding back 5,000. 5 days, 6 days, 8 days, 10. Travis held and held again. Then he sent for replacement for his wounded and lame. But the troops that were coming never came, never came, never came. Twice he charged, then blew recall on the fatal third time. Santa Anna breached the wall and he killed them one and all. Now the bugles are silent and there's rust on each sword, and the small band of soldiers lie asleep in the arms of the Lord. In the southern part of Texas, near the town of San Antone, like a statue on his fiddle rides a cowboy all alone. And he sees the cattle grazing where a century before Santa Anna's guns were blazing and the cannons used to roar. And his eyes turn sort of misty and his heart begins to glow, and he takes his hat off slowly to the men of Alamo, to the 13 days of glory at the Siege of Alamo.
White Area and Resistance calling, White Area and Resistance Radio. This is Terrible Tommy. Tom Metzger right here in the bunker. Similar to the Alamo, a little smaller. This is August 29th. Whoa, what do we got? Two more days in this month? You better get it done, boy. If you haven't done it yet, you better get it done. This is Freya's Day, Ladies' Day in the bunker. We thought we'd break a little tradition and move from a lovey-dovey song to one to really get you excited, make you feel good and bad at the same time. And that goes out to the She-Wolves and so forth and so on. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And my email address is tm_metzger@yahoo.com. And if you have a problem with getting your show or something like that, or whether your dues are paid or not paid, your donations, get in touch with merchandiseresist@gmail.com. And you can get more help there than probably you can from me. Well, I got a nice letter in here from a young man who's now 21, but he got in a jam back when he was 16. Dear Tom, I'd like to start by thanking you for all that you have accomplished and done for our race. You once said, quote, "You can't just call yourself an Aryan. You're given the title of being a proud Aryan once you show me you have done something to further and better your race," unquote. Which is why I woke up today with the incentive to write you personally. I didn't used to see things for what they truly are in this messed up world. I became racially aware December 17, 2010, when I was incarcerated at age 16 and a half into Pierce County Juvenile Correction Facility. I was sentenced to a year and a half in a predominantly black facility. My crime, you ask? Hold on your seat for this. I was home alone, knew no one, was supposed to come over until my mother returned at midnight. As I sat on the couch watching some Zionist-run network television, I heard something rattle outside. I brushed it off like it was nothing. Shortly after, the doorknob starts shifting around, making noise. I get up from the couch and visibly to see and hear that someone is trying to break into the house. I run into my mother's bedroom, reached under her bed and grabbed her ex-boyfriend's .22 long rifle, and run back out into the living room. I racked one into the chamber with the bolt action set up and yelled, "Who's there? State your business. I'm armed." No response. Doorknob shifts, pops, and the door begins to open. I don't even hesitate to pull the trigger due to the fact that I'm 16, home alone, and live out in the middle of nowhere in Washington State. Now, who was on the other side of the door? Of course, someone I'd never seen before. A Mexican, older male, no ID, no paperwork, broken English, and a product of two illegal aliens who jumped the border from Mexico. I didn't kill him. In fact, I never saw or heard of him again after they arrested me in my own home. I was charged as a juvenile, thank God, with assault in the first degree and unlawful possession of a firearm, all due to the fact that in Washington, it's not a home invasion unless the person is 5 feet inside your home. That gives them enough time to kill you. And you state that you're scared for your life. Anyways, while locked up, I witnessed the Nation of Islam members, who were other older black males, come into our pods and visit the younger blacks who were locked up. They would visit them in front of their cells, but the crazy thing about it was that these Muslim blacks were advocating racism towards whites. They would stir up racial tension within the facility, preaching that we all came from Africa, that the white man was on all fours, still living amongst the dogs, while the black man was walking upright, hunting and gathering. It was complete bullshit, but it was working, brainwashing these mixed kids and blacks. It ate away at me every hour of every day. I began to take pride in my race and counter their little Muslim Brotherhood band with educating the whites in my pod and forming a group of true proud Aryans. That's basic instinct goal was to survive. And the only possible way to do that was by forming a brotherhood like bond with white boys who would push back when the blacks attacked or would try to start fights. One truly doesn't know how the world works until they are stripped of everything and put in a confined area with different races. Shortly, things go back to how they used to be. Everyone sticks with their own. Everything comes down to race. After being incarcerated, I adapted the skinhead lifestyle, images and morals and values. But I was focused on addressing the image point. I wanted to advocate furthering one's education to the highest level possible. Not all skinheads had to be foot soldiers. Why not become scholars? And that's where I'm at today. Currently 21, have an AA in Business Administration from RSU, Oklahoma, transferring to Butler in Indiana or CU in Colorado Springs in order to obtain my bachelor's degree and double major in finance and logistics. What am I doing for my race? Besides furthering my education and advocating other proud areas to do the same, I run a little website that contains info on how to get involved in the white community. It has music, history, black-on-white crime reports, comics, and more. I also do flyer bombing, which is legal. I put two flyers I made within this letter that contains a message I hook the reader on, or whoever picks it up, and then a link to the website. Overall, I'm just trying to do my part as a proud white man and hopefully earn that title from you as a proud Aryan serving his race. You, Mr. Metzger, are a true hero of our race. With respect, and I'm not going to give you his name, but I'm going to see to it that he gets information and help that he might want. It would be awesome if you could send me a signed photograph so I could frame it and hang it on the living room wall. If there's any way I can get more involved and help, let me know. Well, that picture might keep the mouses away, I don't know. Or might keep the wetbacks away, too. That was a great letter. It made me feel good because, you see, back there about 20 years ago, see, people seem to forget. I sort of slid off from under the foot soldier type of skinhead and advised them to let their hair grow out, dress normally, get into college, finish their high school or whatever, and get in. Then, once you're graduated and have an education, infiltrate any level of society you think that you could be important to us, be our eyes and ears. And that could be just about anything. Now, this young man's going into finance and so forth like that, and that's a very important area to be in. So anyhow, a percentage of the skinheads listened to my advice. There was quite a percentage, though, that didn't and kept going down the right-wing path, in which a lot of them got into really bad trouble. And I count that up to these right-wing membership organizations that tell them who to hate but not what to do about it, or what to do about it but to do the wrong thing about it. But anyhow, we got our foot in the door. I'm the racial Johnny Appleseed. I used to tell the press that. I'm the Johnny Appleseed of white Aryan racism. So anyhow, I was happy to get that letter. And we get a letter like that every once in a while, and from people who've made it through alive and out of prison and straightened their life up and are serving the white race as much as they can. Yeah. You know, I got to thinking that this might be a good tactic. If a guy is political and he's local or in your county or even in the state and he's an asshole, well, when he goes for higher office, like to go to Washington, vote for him just to get his ass out of town. What do you think? Out of the state. See, nobody had informed this young man that you could just drag that body in for 5 feet over the threshold and he'd have been covered. Now, this is an example of white cops. A lot of people keep wanting me to get sweet on the white cops. And my history is such that that's almost impossible to do. I can, like an individual cop, or I can speak to a cop on in a civil tone, but don't expect me to buddy up to these guys who have done some very bad things. Now, they could have saved this boy, and I'll bet you anything the cops that went out to the house were white. I'll bet you anything. And they could have said, well, he's obviously 5 feet into the house. And so, and the kid would not have done a year and a half in jail. Now, this story, I'll play a little bit of it for you, is someplace you might be shocked. Asian gangs roaming the streets at leisure, raping, robbing, dragging girls into alleys and so forth, that has been going on for years, and the cops did virtually nothing about it.
Sam still has the documents as well as the mental scars. He reported reported to the police being dragged into a shed and abused by a middle-aged man when just 13. The police seemed to believe him, yet they made no arrests. It is even as though Rotherham's a very big place, and yet the supposition is that for more than a decade, hundreds and hundreds of young people were being systematically sexually abused, though many people must have known all about it, and yet the authorities did absolutely nothing. But this isn't only a very big local scandal. The issues raised from all this are fast being viewed as a national disgrace. The media here are focusing on why so few officials have been prepared to resign over all this. But the bigger, really alarming story is the growing fear that this has been happening all over the country.
Let's see a full inquiry or a full investigation throughout all the towns in the country. Let's root this cancer out.
Destroy everything. And it has done all my life.
And as if to reinforce that point, Rebecca fought off her grief to describe what happened to her. She said she'd been gang raped by 5 Asian men when she was 7, not here, but in Britain's second city, Birmingham. Mm-hmm. She'd come to Rotherham in solidarity.
I knew that I had to be here to speak out for, you know, I mean, yes, in the media they say 1,400, but it would have surprised me if it was at least 3 times that I'm out and they just haven't had the courage or the support or, you know, they've probably just wanted to forget about it.
Every time stories of organised abuse happen, agonised appeals follow for change. But the really big question raised by Rotherham is this. If those who've been in charge of protecting children have been failing them, then who else is there? Lawrence Lee, Al Jazeera, Rotherham.
By the way, the Deputy Police Commissioner just resigned because of the scandal. He says his boss should step down as well. Stephanie?
You know, Britain's not that big a country. It doesn't take that long to drive across it. Now, if this has been going on this long, tell me that the BNP and the English Defense League didn't know about it. Or if they didn't know about it, why didn't they know about it? And why are some Englishmen, white Englishmen, going to the Ukraine as neo-Nazis? And I use that term in a derogatory manner. They're not National Socialists. Why would they be going down there when they got their own problems to clean up in Britain? And these are all white administrators and mostly white cops. Ask yourself that. Why wasn't it taken care of? You know, all you had to do was find these neighborhoods where this is happening and put bait out there, have a young person walk through late at night, and when these bastards come out of the woodwork, you take care of business. That's the way it's been done for a long, long time. But it don't seem to get done much anymore.
This crackdown in decades has cut the flow of Central American migrants trying to enter the U.S. The operation has dramatically cut down the number of children and families trying to cross the border illegally. Authorities have been focusing on this freight train. It's known as the Beast, which is used by many to travel through Mexico. They've also set up roadblocks, checking passengers on cross-country buses.
And for his part, the president said...
Now, we were told that the southern Mexico border was tight as a drum, and they were extremely strict on people getting through. Now, someone, if that is true, and all of a sudden thousands of these people are coming through the southern border of Mexico and riding through on trains and everything else, and the Mexicans aren't doing anything about it, then the Mexicans are bullshitting us again, and probably at the behest of Mr. Obama, you know? Please let the poor darlings through. They're just looking for a good life. Yeah. Everybody's looking for a good life. Do you know anybody that's not looking for a good life? Every troglodyte from the black holes of Calcutta is looking for a good life. Just get me into that United States because I see on television everybody's rich.
Well, at the moment, Stephanie, there aren't any broad programs addressing that. There are some programs in the schools. There's some after-school programs. Some nonprofits have some programs. One of the things that LaShawn Ford has been critical of is the fact that we've closed a lot of
schools on the south side in the city, in these neighborhoods that are being affected. So classes are, of course, larger. And he says students aren't getting the individual attention that they need. And parents also play a role in this as well.
Diane Esterbrook reporting to us.
And that was a little clip from Chicago. Chicago, as some people would call it. And it's about, 1,500 people have died on the streets of Chicago, mostly at the hands of blacks, black criminals, since the first of the year, 1,500 people. And see, this is the problem. When you approach any subject like this with a liberal mind, and I mean a lot of conservatives have liberal minds too, they just don't want to admit it, with the equality myth, which the conservatives now, all the big shot conservatives, accept its equality is true. There's none of them that I know that have the balls to say the truth, that there is no such thing as equality of individuals or races. So, with their typical answers, they closed up a bunch of schools. Well, why did they close up a bunch of schools? Oh, well, it's just tax money. Well, does that have to do with businesses moving out of the area? They're sick and tired of it, paying tremendous taxes. I know one of our associates, who I've known for a long time, recently, the last year, moved out of Chicago. He said, it's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. They're taxing the middle class totally out of existence. And so, as these people move out and take their money with them, the schools don't have money to operate. Now, what were the schools used for black people? As holding areas. They know it. Who was the mayor of Chicago for years? Anyhow, he realized what you had to do about the black situation, so he built all those high-rise incubators. Those high-rises, stuffed them in there to get them out of the road. But now they're getting rid of those, condemning them, because obviously, like cockroaches, the blacks have totally destroyed those welfare towers, and they're back on the street. Well, as many of them as they could keep pinned up in these schools, better off people were. But the ones that were in the school that wanted to learn something couldn't learn a damn thing. How could you learn anything? And then they say, well, we don't want cops to be around here with guns. The liberal arguments are so crazy that you couldn't sell it to a three-year-old. So all these people that couldn't find another niche in another school to screw up, they're out on the streets mugging, raping, robbing, killing, and looking for a white cop to shoot them. Jesus. The black Ku Klux Klan is doing the best it can, but it can't do it all, boys and girls. Oh, yes, that was Mayor Daley. He was trying to handle the black plague in the only way he knew how. Incidentally, you know, he's responsible for giving the campaign the election to Kennedy, or Kennedy never would have been president. It was Mayor Daley that furnished the votes that took him over the top. Then his son became mayor, too, and he's out now, and we got this mulatto that was in the cabinet of Obama. He's in there now, and these guys are all rotten to the core. You know, five of the six governors of Illinois in the last few years have gone to prison. Several of them. I mean, that's how bad it is. You think they're worried about the little nigger children? They're just worried about trying to stay out of prison, man, or get out of jail, man. Just remember one of our mottos. Tolerance is suicide. You know, Morris Sleaze D's in his Millionaires Club down there, they keep saying, you got to have tolerance. You know, well, do you have tolerance to cockroaches when they start eating up your house? Do you have tolerance of the mice and rats who try to get in your house? I mean, do you have tolerance of termites that are eating your house to pieces? Well, they're living creatures too. They're God's creatures, so I mean, you know, you can't be mean. Of course, Morris Dees is a type like all these kind of people that make all their money off the downtrodden. They keep saying they're uplifting the downtrodden. They take in millions. He's got, I don't know, how many hundred million stashed away. Somebody told me the other day, though, that he had a dream two or three nights in a row that Morris Deez was dead. Well, it's an interesting dream. We'll see whether it comes true. I don't know which story got the most play. The shooting of the little child down in Missouri, or the chopping off the head of a newsman. Of course, false flaggers, I probably, they're saying he's still alive. Well, I don't go for that stuff anymore, because 9 chances out of 10 it turns out to be fake and false flag. But now, chopping off one head, when we and England and Germany and other people have been bombing and strafing and firebombing or whatever, all these people over there, killing them by the thousands, and sending Israel the weapons to do it too, and people go crazy about one guy getting his head chopped off. Now, if they'd have chopped off, say, 100 at a time, now that would have been something to behold. But one, compared to the havoc that the military-industrial complex of this country has spread throughout the Middle East just because of wanting oil and just petty regime change and trying to teach all these countries that they're now our provinces. All over the world now, this is the predatory capitalist empire. And we're trying to, and this empire is trying to make every country in the world not sovereign, take its sovereignty away, no matter whether the leaders are good or bad, and make them a province of, really, New York, or the city, the bank, big bank there in London. You think that's not true? It's damn straight true. That's what's going on. That's why I say we should pull the other way. Believe in states breaking off, or not necessarily officially breaking off, but just start changing their laws and getting on the ass of your state senators to start taking care of the state. You don't elect these guys for other people in the United States, even. You elect these state guys for the people inside your state. That's all they're supposed to be concerned with. And when they start yapping about the border and all that kind of stuff, say, shut your mouth up. That's not your concern. But you should be in a position to close the borders of your state and bring out your militia. Well, incidentally, on that, all those, the Black Ku Klux Klan and all these murders in Black Chicago, well, now they've gotten so desperate they brought in the Illinois State Police. So there's going to be more taxes drained from the white people. Yeah, they bring it in the Illinois State Police to back up the Chicago police. Well, the next thing will be is National Guard sooner or later. Because they're never going to stop these blacks from killing each other. Except if they do, like I said before, you seal off their... You don't even have to seal it off physically. You just let them know that this is a boundary here. And you put all black cops down there. And I mean ass-kicking, name-taking white cops. I mean black cops. Things wouldn't change overnight. But I know enough about black cops of the old days that it could sure change. Other than that, forget it. It's just going to go on. And we keep hearing on TV and reading in the newspaper, and nothing's going to be done because they're operating from a position of progressivism, liberalism, equality, and all that, which will never, ever, ever work. You know, your masters don't care if you really believe in equality, as long as when they say equality, you go along with it. A lot of people think, well, I don't agree with that. But They're afraid of the system, so they go along with it. And that's the secret right there. Manchurian candidate, baby. You ever wonder why the black race has never had a national holiday devoted to giving thanks to the white race who died by the hundreds of thousands, getting them freed from slavery? When does that happen, where all the blacks go to church and give respect and eulogies to all the white men who died in the Civil War, freeing their ass? Why don't you ask call in a black radio show and ask why? I heard a newsman the other day going on and on about this ISIS and these radical, fanatical Muslims, and they're apocalyptic. And I looked in the mirror and I said, what? You're talking apocalyptic? Apocalyptic? What do you think Christianity does in Judaism? Read Revelations. That's apocalyptic, and that all your preachers, all your fundamentalists are talking about the end of the world, the end of the world, the end of the world, the battle of Armageddon, all that, and then Jesus will come back and whisk us all away in his Rolls Royce. You see, the difference is, I don't think most white Americans believe it. But the Islamic people believe it. I mean, a larger percentage of them believe it. So that's funny. They're accusing the Muslims of being apocalyptic. In other words, they believe in their religion and they're carrying it out. Christians talk about it all the time. So they have the military industrialists carry it out and bomb the shit out of people. Well, here's a good movie, I'll tell you that. It's a sort of a sleeper. I've never heard of it before. I believe it was on either Hulu or Netflix. And I think it was on Netflix. And it's called Blue Ruin. BLUERUIN. Blue Ruin. It's sort of a... It's funny because it's a nobody, a guy who has a grudge over something that's happened to his family, and he sets out to get the people who did it. But he's a bumbling amateur, and he's along the way he screws everything up, but eventually he gets the job done. But for an amateur who is looking for revenge, you can learn a lot from this movie, Blue Ruin. You know, I perceive this progressivism and race mixing and all that crazy stuff that's anti-logic, anti-nature, as being something that's, it's like a huge rubber band. And these guys, these progressives and so forth, they're pulling on this rubber band and they're going to pull it and pull it and pull it, pull it, till it's stretched way beyond the point of it should be. And then that son of a bitch is going to let go, and it's going to go back the other way. And then as Katie bar the door shut, there's a man under the bed, because there are going to be dead bodies all over the place. Well, I went into the local fish wrap today and talked to the editor, who's actually a pretty good guy. He's got a rock and roll band that once in a while I hear him play. I think he was at one time maybe a hippie or something. He still wears his hair long, but they've got him by the testicles because he has to print everything the Republican conservatives say. But anyhow, I can talk to the guy and we can laugh and joke around. So I went in there today and said, hey, I'm here to get my tickets for going to Israel. You know, it was in the paper there. This guy was going to send me to Israel, and I should contact the paper. Of course, the paper editor said, well, no, I don't know how that got screwed around like that. And I said, well, look, I want to get my trip to Israel. And I said, your cartoons in your paper, and Rush Scumball and Sean Hannabit, between all you guys, I'm beginning to feel sorry for Obama, for Christ's sake, you know. I'll tell you one thing. I really despise Scumball and Sean Hannity worse than I do Obama. And I don't even think I despise Obama. He's just screwed up, wrong, he shouldn't be there, and all that kind of stuff. But boy, these Republicans, they love to hide their racism behind politics. It's just politics. Just politics. We're only against him because of politics. So also, while I was in there, I said to the editor, I said, you know, I heard a rumor that the Republican National Committee had bought offices in the basement of this paper. He said, nope, they're on the third floor. They got the whole floor. We both had a laugh at that. I said, by God, I'm going to take over the Democrat Party in this town and give you people a run for your money. They got a kick out of that one. I said, but I can't ever find them because when they think I'm coming to their meetings, they move the meetings, keep it secret, so I can't find them. Well, here's a new program for you mothers and fathers with kids, to get them out of these niggerized schools, and not necessarily to do homeschooling. But they have a new program now. It's called K12.com, to where you can do public school education without going to school, as far as bricks and mortar is concerned. Now, you can call them at 803-3737-877. But it sounded like a pretty good deal to me. If you wanted the benefits of like a homeschooling, but still get public education credits and the whole bit and graduate as in public education. So check on it. Let me know if you think it's any good. Now, don't tell me there's all kinds of propaganda. Of course, there's all kinds of propaganda. But to get a certificate of graduation and all that kind of stuff, it'd be good to have a public education sheepskin, man. Gee, I saw this scrawled on a wall not too far from my place. Live a little. Offend somebody today. There must be somebody around here that agrees with Tommy. You know? Everybody's afraid of offending people. I'm not afraid of offending people. If it's legitimate offending and it's true what I'm saying. In fact, I'm thrilled to death when they're offended. Like I say on this show, if I didn't offend you today, call back tomorrow and I'll try harder. As you know, the Ukraine has bid to join NATO, which is like sticking their thumb in the eye of Russia. And they're asking, will it unleash 21st century Cold War? It could be worse than that. You know, if I were Putin, what I'd do, I said, you know, you're giving all these sanctions, you're coming up with new sanctions. I got a sanction for you. I'll cut off all the natural gas to Europe, and we'll see how long this goes. Just cut the goddamn gas off to Europe and let all those people go nuts. Well, instability continues to grip Libya. I wonder why. Officials are sounding the alarm over the deteriorating situation that could lead towards civil war in the country, where destabilization, critics charge, has deepened since NATO's bombing in 2011 and the murder of Gaddafi. It seemed to me things were running fairly smooth under Gaddafi, right? Well, these guys. Well, I see the Ferguson protesters out there in Ferguson, Missouri, have got themselves some Jew lawyer ambulance chasers. And they're filing big lawsuits against the police for civil rights violations. And they'll probably win and get millions of dollars. And they'll bankrupt the damn city, which is in bad shape already. Now, is that going to help out those black people out there? No, it's not going to help anybody. They filed a $40 million federal lawsuit, which will break the bank of Ferguson, Missouri. And, I mean, you know, these people don't know how to do anything right, and everything they do makes things worse. Well, if California didn't have enough trouble with the water and everything else, and they're going to have a lot more trouble with water fast if this crap goes through, because the U.S. Bureau of Land Management has put the ecosystem's water resources and residents of California at urgent risk Expert critics are warning by accepting a failed scientific review of the dangers of fracking in the state as a basis to begin issuing permits for the controversial gas drilling technique as soon as next year. The BLM commission study was conducted by the California Council on Science and Technology and came in response to a lawsuit brought by two environmental groups, the Center for Biological Diversity and the Sierra Club, who objected to the leasing of public land in California to oil and gas companies for the drilling process, all known as hydraulic fracturing, which injects water, sand, and chemicals deep into the earth to release fossil fuels deposits trapped in shale formations. Now, we don't need that. We don't need that. It costs almost twice the price to get it out as they make off of that stuff. And it'd be all sold overseas anyhow. I mean, yeah, it. You wonder why they do that? Well, because of, you know, borrowing money and banks and all kinds of shady deals. Because why would you want to go ahead with fracking if it's costing you almost twice as much to get out as what you're getting out is worth? Plus, you've got water problems now. You're going to have a lot more water problems because you're going to take a lot of good water that's left in the state, pump it into the ground, and it's going to come up shitty water. A federal judge ordered the study in 2013 after ruling that the BLM had violated state law by issuing oil leases in Monterey County, California, without considering fracking's environmental risk. Well, now you notice they said on federal lands. That doesn't mean that the oil companies are barred from drilling on private land. And of course, all these guys that want to make a quick buck and then move to Miami, of course, they got to understand Miami's going to be underwater one of these days. But so they'll let their private land be drilled on, and they'll get paid off of quite a lump sum, a big amount of money, and then they'll move to some other place and see what they can do to destroy that. The findings of the report, like they did in Colorado. I mean, just thousands of acres of destroyed property due to fracking. The findings of the report, according to the BLM, conclude that no serious dangers were found and signaled that fracking licenses could be issued on federal lands for drilling in 2015. Who's getting bought off there? Jim Kenna, the BLM's California state director, told reporters on a media call that the report would allow state regulators to authorize fracking while also monitoring for safety and environmental impacts and health concerns. But even if this was a good thing, the gas and so forth is coming out, it costs twice as much to get it out, or nearly that much, as they're going to sell it for. So there's no, it's a scam. It's always a scam, and then that gas and so forth is not going to the United States. We don't need it. We got plenty of it without fracking. But as the Los Angeles Times points out, even the independent research organization that conducted the survey on which the decision was based says the study has severe shortcomings and lacking key metrics. Key metrics. The report authors noted that they had little time and scant information on which to base conclusions, citing widespread data gaps and inadequate scientific resources for a more thorough study. For example, the report found no evidence of water contamination from fracking in California. But the scientist directing the research, Jane Long, said the researchers also had no data on the quality of water near fracking sites. "We can only tell you what the data we could get says," said Long, a former director of Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. Oh, boy. Oh, jeez. "We can't tell you what we don't know." Well, anyhow, that's it there. It's a long article, but they want to fuck up California like they've screwed up Colorado and every place else. They frack, and there's no reason to frack. No reason at all to frack. If this was some kind of a country's going to fall if we don't frack situation, might be one thing. But that's not the case. You see yesterday that you had hundreds of illegal aliens demonstrating in front of the White House, and some of them got arrested only for blocking the sidewalk. Well, why didn't the Border Patrol people pick them all up if they didn't have identification as American citizens or whatever, or green cards? They're right out there sticking the middle finger up in your face, and nobody does anything. This is total unpolluted bull caca. Well, this is going to make you want to say, support your local police and keep them independent. Police departments in the U.S. are increasingly considering the use of drones as a law enforcement tool. Now that we have millions and millions and millions of low-grade new people in the country, even as civil rights groups, and media turn up scrutiny of police militarization in the wake of the brutal crackdowns on anti-brutality protesters in Ferguson, Missouri. The Baltimore Sun reported on Sunday that agencies in several Maryland counties are considering testing drones, or unmanned aerial vehicles, for intelligence gathering and high-risk tactical raids. In other words, snooping on you, snooping on your neighborhood, and using them in tactical raids, like when the ATF ATF raided my house. They would have had drones overhead spying on me for a week in advance. You want that? Is that what you want? That news comes less than a week after the anti-war activists in California protested against mission creep by the Los Angeles Police Department, which recently acquired several of their drones. Indiana Police Departments also recently announced their plan to pursue adding drones to their weapons. You know, this Indiana is becoming like California. I move all the way out here to Indiana, and they're swiftly turning it into a California, including all the wetbacks that I can see even driving by my house. Oh, jeez. Where are you going to go, man? Where are you going to go? In a letter to L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti, who's probably an illegal alien himself, Drone Free L.A. spokesperson Hamad Khan, an Islamic guy, expressed deep concerns about the recent gifting of two Dragon Flyer X drones by the Seattle Police Department to the LAPD. Now, what the hell is the Seattle Police Department giving drones to LAPD? You'd think the taxpayers in Seattle would be a little upset with that. We believe the acquisition of drones signifies a giant step forward in the militarization of local law enforcement that is normalizing continued surveillance and violations of human rights or people rights of their communities, Khan wrote. It's interesting. He's already running the show there. People that shouldn't even be here. The SPD originally purchased the unmanned aerial vehicles using federal grant called the Urban Areas Security Initiative, a common example of the effects of the government's pervasive $34 billion militarization program that enables domestic police departments to acquire and trade tools and weapons intended for warfare. Now, you know that this all comes about through a large percentage of it, through non-white crime, pure and simple. See, there's another thing where the black race, they're nothing but a problem. They've always been a problem, and they'll always be a problem until it's taken care of. And so, they're going to send a couple of drones, of course, over black ghettos. And the next thing, they'll be marching in the street. You're not doing it to the white neighborhoods. Well, that might be because there's not hardly any crime. I mean, we can't afford to run drones over neighborhoods where there's no crime. In a June press conference, LAPD Chief Charlie Beck said drones would be useful in standoffs, perimeters, suspects hiding. It doesn't say convicted people or known criminals. Suspect. This means just suspect. And defending the department acquisition of the UAVs by stating, when retailers start talking about using them to deliver packages, we would be silly not to at least have a discussion on whether we want to use them in law enforcement. Yeah. But while many police departments claim that they would use the vehicle strictly for high-risk scenarios, they always promise you this shit in the beginning, you know, but it always goes bad. Critics have sounded the alarm over the risk of drone use, particularly by entities they say are as historically oppressive as American law enforcement agencies. Well, let's see here. Tara Tabassi, sounds like another non-white, national organizer of the War Resisters League, told Common Dreams that with the current nationwide public outcry against police militarization, well, these are the people who also want all our guns taken away from us, too. in a way that might work out, because if they don't have any guns and we don't give up our guns, that sort of puts us in the saddle. It is many invisible methods of domestic warfare, such as the use of drones by police departments, that must be a major focus. Warfare indeed knows no borders, nor does the U.S. government's lack of transparency and accountability. Oh, come on. Obama said he'd be transparent. Obama wouldn't lie. As they choose to protect the identities and crimes of drone operators over the civil liberties and human rights of unarmed populations across the globe, well, even murdering them, even though the people were non-white, they had American citizenship, you know. Police militarization and violent police responses to peaceful protests have faced increased scrutiny in the recent weeks after activists and reporters in Ferguson were tear gassed and shot at while demanding justice for Michael Brown, the unarmed teenager who was shot to death by a white police officer earlier this month. Well, I say the day of demonstrating for anything against or for is over, unless you want to actually risk your life. I know a couple of cases where I risked my life, I know that. And several of my friends did too. But now it's gotten beyond that. And I think it's time for people just to lock and load underground and get ready. But don't go out there and get your ass blown away or beaten up or jailed in these demonstrations, because they don't pay any attention to demonstrations anyhow. The system don't give a shit how much you demonstrate, about what you demonstrate or anything, as long as they're in control. As long as that 1%, 2%, 3% are in control, they don't care if you've got 10,000, 100,000 people demonstrating. They'll wring their hands and they'll make believe like, oh my, oh my. But they're not going to give in to anything if it hurts their ability to make more money. Okay, the fact that it is being paid for by Department of Homeland Security shows a very obvious connection with militarization when police departments start to be armed. As military forces, rather than protecting and serving, they start occupying and oppressing. Well, that's what power always does. Don't you read history? Don't you understand history? Power keeps building and building and building until it consumes everything. And then you have to have a violent overthrow. And if you're successful, go back to square one and start all over again. And it goes on and on and on. These kind of struggles never stop. I mean, that's what evolution is all about, is struggle. That a lot of people don't seem to understand that your whole life is about struggle. If you're not struggling, you're not doing anything. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, life should be a struggle. And it should be a struggle between groups, the have and the have-nots, and so forth and so like that. It's never going to end. So get used to it, baby. Sometimes it's more violent than other times. And we went through a lot of decades of relative peacefulness. I mean, even the Vietnam War protests were Mickey Mouse compared to probably what's coming. And they will simply mow you down in the street. That's what power people who have absolute power do. They have no qualms of killing your ass. Here's a symbolic protest that is a step in the right direction. The 9 UK protesters occupying a factory that supplies drone engines to the Israel Defense Forces were all arrested on the roof of the building on Wednesday evening after remaining on top of it for over 36 hours in a standoff with local police and successful shutting the factory down during the time. Well, this is cute, and this is playing games, but they're right, but the plant needs to be taken apart. I mean, you know, staying on the roof for 36 hours, well, that's cute, typical student-type stuff. But if they're building weapons of mass destruction in your country, in your town, in your area, it would seem to me to be your duty at some point to eliminate them. And if your politicians won't do it, then the people should do it. It's not that hard to do. It's not clear what prompted the arrest, as police had previously vowed to find a peaceful solution to the standoff. The group London Palestine Action chained the factory's gates shut and chained themselves to the roof of the UAV Engines Limited factory in Shenstone, England, around 5 a.m. Tuesday, saying that they had enough food to stay a week. Well, that's a cute little demonstration, but it doesn't change anything. The Staffordshire Police arrived on the scene about 5:20 a.m. and shut down access to the road and issued a statement saying that officers are in attendance to ensure the protest remains peaceful. Well, what good is a protest that remains peaceful? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, a demonstration that remains peaceful is nothing. You know, the blacks, I mean, you know, you got to hand it to them a little bit. They get pretty violent in their demonstrations. That's the way demonstrations should be. Then they put up a big sign on the front of this factory gate. United Kingdom, stop arming Israel. Well, stop arming anybody. Stop arming anybody. Including Israel. These kind of things are cute, but they don't change a damn thing. I mean, you can't be halfway on these kind of things. Either you got to go all the way or no way at all. Now, this UAV Engines Limited is a subsidiary of the Israel Defense Systems Company, Elbit. In other words, they own this place. The company's stock recently reached a 4-year high. Hey! Making lots of money building those drones after climbing 6.1% between July 8th and 29th in the midst of Israel's latest attack on Gaza. See, that's what most of this is about, making lots of money. Lots of money. Like I told Wally George on that TV show I did with him, all you guys want is lots of money. So the stockholders, shareholders in these companies are cleaning up. Yeah, dying and killing is good for business. Greatly good for business. Like I said before, these progressives are griping about all the guns American citizens have, but they're not out there griping in the same way about the manufacture and distribution of millions of small arms and so forth, and cluster bombs. There's at least two or three factories in the United States. One's in Wisconsin. I forget. One's on the East Coast someplace, building cluster bombs. You know, these are the ones that they drop and the little kids pick them up and it blows their hands off, you know, stuff like that. So is your Christian neighbor building cluster bombs? You better check. Your neighbor is over there in that factory making cluster bombs, and on Sundays on his knees praying to the Jew God. Well, that's about it for me today. I'll be back. Whoa, I think we'll have Sling Blade on tomorrow, if not a fresh new show, one of his repeats, and we'll go from there. Just like George Thurgood said, it's mostly bullshit. Oh, I've noticed, too, that Russia today is sliding right into the old crap with a lot of things they're covering now, and Al Jazeera, too. So Russia today was a pretty good source, but they're losing ground fast.
Challenged by Travis to die, by the line that he drew with his sword when the battle was nigh. Any man that will fight to the death, cross over, but if you want to live, you better fly. And over the line with 179.
Country is going to be in Alamo as the chemistry keeps working. The pot is boiling, and the whole country will be the Alamo.